That's cute.
There you go.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, it worked. Another item that needs repair in the city. Welcome to the regular scheduled planning commission meeting for tonight, City of San Bernardino. I'm calling to order. Please take your seat, turn off your cell phones or put them on silent. Commissioner Durr, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Be seated. Ms. Sanchez, would you call the roll?
Yes. Chair Heasley.
Present.
Vice Chair Durr.
Here.
Commissioner Manchin.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Ebley.
Here.
Commissioner Daly.
Here.
Commissioner Wyatt is absent. Commissioner Earp. And Commissioner Barnhart is absent, and Commissioner Paxton is excused. We have quorum.
Thank you. Consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon a request of the member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. What does staff recommend for the consent agenda?
Chair, we have two items on the consent calendar for this evening. The first item are the minutes of the October 1st, 2015 Planning Commission meeting, and staff is recommending approval of those. The second item on consent is the extension of time for tentative tract map 16502, and this is a tract map at the northwest corner of Ohio and Magnolia Avenue, and the applicant is proposing the subdivision of the parcel into 38 lots. Staff is recommending approval of the extension of time.
Thank you. I do have a request, speaker's request, and a member of the public wishes to pull item number two. And so we'll discuss it in its full hearing. Now we'll have the public hearing items. The Planning Commission will first hear a report from the staff, and the public hearing will be open. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next, members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. The forms are located near the table, on the table near the door. When your name is called, come forward and speak into the microphone. Say and spell your name, give your address for the tape record. After all is spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. Public hearing will then be closed and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. All actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the Municipal Development Code are final action unless the appeal is filed and a fee paid within 15 days to the Community Development Department. If you challenge the resultant action of the Planning Commission in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues you or someone else raised at the public hearing described in this agenda or in written correspondence delivered to the Community Development Department at or prior to the public hearing. So we will go with item number two, then.
Mr. Chairman, I think you need to take a motion on that consent agenda item, the minutes of October 21st, and then you may want to administer the oath to any speakers.
Correct. Consent agenda item one, entertain a motion.
Motion to approve. Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
The next slide.
Next slide. Opposed? None? Thank you. All those wishing to speak need to be sworn in. Staff, will you administer the oath?
Okay. Anybody looking to speak, if you can please stand. Okay. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do. Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you. Item number two, if you would, is there anything you need to add to that, Mr. Persico?
I will have a short report given by Oliver Mahika.
Thank you.
Good evening, Commissioners. The item before you is a request for extension of time. The project was originally approved in November of 2003. The city's development code allows for annual inspections, extensions after the expiration of the map. Also, the state legislature has adopted legislation typically on an annual basis to continue an automatic or an additional extension. The item before you tonight is just a continuation of the extensions. The applicant is in the process of preparing the final map, but because of some of the items they have to do with landscape districts and so forth that they're in the process of, that takes timing, that schedule was going to go beyond the expiration of the November 18th. So they went ahead and filed for the extension on this particular map to give them enough time to complete their other final map requirements. I'd be glad to answer any questions. I believe there's someone here that would like to speak, and we can entertain that discussion if you'd like.
Any questions for Oliver? Thank you. I have a Joe Lopez that wishes to speak on this subject. Please come to the podium on the right here. Your left. Welcome, Mr. Lopez.
My name is Joseph Lopez, and I've lived at 6934 Jasmine Court since 2008. And my actually, my backyard faces Magnolia, where we see where there's the large vacant lot, which I figure that's where these houses will be built. And I think my concern is just I would like more, since I live so close to where this is going to happen, I would have liked more information for the neighbors or for the neighborhood as to what was going to happen, you know. This is the first time I heard about it, and we have, it's like, to me, it's just a big surprise, and I would like more information to be aware of what's going to happen to my neighborhood.
Okay, thank you. I think we can provide the information. I'm going to let staff go ahead and run with providing you with sufficient information. Again, this is an extension of time of a previously approved development, so...
I don't know if this was something the Mr. Nickel, the councilman, should be aware of, or let his ward residents know. Or I think I was just surprised, but you know, I got the green sheet, the information about this, so that's why I wanted to come here and find out a little more about it, so I'm have more aware of what's going on in our neighborhood.
I understand the background of it, which is in our agenda and it's in the documentation available, is the original track map and et cetera was approved in 2003. Yeah. So it's something that we've extended, and as this economy took a downturn, and then this is, again, a housing development. So Mr. Pena first, then Mr. Mason.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to advise the Commission that on extensions of time, and you haven't had that many recently because of the state-mandated laws that require an automatic extension for tentative maps for some 8 years, I think it's been now, or more. But the legal issue that's before you today on an extension of time is essentially whether there's been a change in circumstances to the project itself, change in circumstances to the project location and its surroundings that would cause a denial or an amendment to this previously approved tentative map. And unless there's evidence of that before you, there's really not much more you can do. For the benefit of this a member of the public, I don't know if he lived in the house that he's in now and back in 2003 when notice was given to the community about this project. Mail notice was sent out, and there was a notice public hearing before this commission. But the staff may want to provide additional information to him separately.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Machen.
The Speaker brings up a very good point. His question is, he would like to know what's going to be built out there. And the way you find that out is to look at the tentative map. And my question is the tentative map available online, or can it be made available?
Yes, it is. Excuse me. Our agenda packages are available online. So if we were to go to the website, just as anyone wants, you know, tonight's agenda is on the website.
But does that include the tentative map?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Do you understand that those comments and answers, Mr. Lopez?
Yes.
Yeah, the tentative map is all on the agenda package, which is available at the city's website on the agenda portal for tonight's meeting. It'll give you, and you can print out if you wish or whatever you want to do, look at it, and that'll give you a full explanation as to what we have going on this particular item or any other agenda item that we have.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, just a quick question. So we had our original approval back in November of 2003. So that's 12 years today or this month. And I know, Henry, you said that there's automatic rollovers or for allowing for extensions of time. I'm just curious are we going to be seeing this again in a year or where the applicant is. I know you said that there was some changes or some getting the landscaping districts put together and approved. So I'm curious when we're going to see this move forward.
The applicant is here, if you'd that may be able to address that. But we met with the applicant and their engineers, I'm going to say probably about 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. They were aware that the time was coming up. So the discussion started with, we're moving forward. Our plans are approximately 90% complete for the final map, the improvement plans and such. Is there enough time to get it on the city council agenda for approval of the final map? And again, because of some of the other processing issues or matters, didn't seem like there was going to be enough time. So we thought that rather than have them rush through and miss deadlines and things, that we had the opportunity to file for an extension, and that's why they're here. Again, the applicant is here, might be able to address the timing issues a little bit better.
Then just to address the city attorney's office comment, have there been any substantial changes to what was originally approved that we're seeing tonight, or is this simply just an extension of?
It's simply an extension.
Okay, thank you very much. And then maybe for the speaker's benefit, yourself or staff or the applicant might be able to connect so like he can get a little bit better understanding of what this project is and how it's going to affect his neighborhood.
That'd be fine. Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Lopez, do you feel that you need a verbal explanation of what the project is, or visiting the website would be adequate for you to get the information that you feel that you need to understand the full ramification of the project as it sits now?
Well, hopefully through the website I was just curious, is this going to benefit the property values of the community, of the Vermont Heights that's already there, or what's going to be constructed in this area, in this map, so we're, like I say, so I know more of what's going on other than the map.
Hopefully, I think the website would be your best way to get all the details that I feel that would answer most of your questions, if not all. Commissioner Lopez.
Excuse me. You mentioned that we're concerned. Are there other neighbors who front that empty lot that you're referring to that's going to be developed?
Well,
is it just you, or is it other neighbors who are concerned?
Well, no. I'm not sure about the other neighbors. I'm just, speaking on behalf of myself. But I'm just, since I live so close, I was concerned, so I thought I'd come today.
Okay.
Commissioner Machen?
One more question. How much detail is shown on that tentative map
as far as the actual development is concerned? Does it show the grading and proposed buildings?
It shows the grading and where the building pads would be.
Pads.
That's correct. Doesn't show the units. But what I was going to do is I'd like gladly give Mr. Lopez my card. And if he'd like to come up to our office, we can certainly share the file with him and show him what any other detail with the project.
I think that would be beneficial to supply Mr. Lopez with a contact information directly to you, Oliver.
Okay.
Does that satisfy your concerns, Mr. Lopez?
Thank you.
Thank you very much for bringing it to our attention.
Thank you.
Item number three.
Oh, wait.
I think
I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that the Planning Commission approve extension of time 15-02, granting a one-year extension for tentative track map 16502 until November 18, 2016, subject to the conditions of approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Burn through. Unanimous. Now we'll go to number three. I should have got more rest.
Keep going. Next one. More. No. Yeah, it's good there.
Where's the coffee?
No coffee.
Go. Are we ready? Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, Commissioners. The next item is conditional use permit number 1318. It is a property located at 1005 1027 South Washington Avenue. The company is California Pumping Sanitation. They're an existing facility that's to the immediately to the next door to the property. Let's go to the aerial if we can. So right now the site is delineated a little over 2 acres, 2.5 acres, and their existing facility is just to the south of the proposed location. They are looking to do improvements to the site, which would involve the all the on and off site improvements. It also convert the existing residents into caretakers at an office, and in the future they will be constructing a 4,800 square foot vehicle maintenance and office facility. This project, we've been working up closely with the Environmental Services Department, trying to regulate the particular use here. And I don't know why the mic keeps going in and out, but anyway, what their service is to empty and collect septic tank waste. They have a series of trucks. They have one large tanker truck, and they have 6 smaller ones. They go through their routes and collect. They come back to this facility. In some cases, they transfer the smaller tankers into the large, and then take it to our treatment facility. Let's go to the next slide. Site plan. This is the existing location, again vacant, and there's no off-site improvement. So the applicant will be doing curb gutter. They will be doing on the street improvements directly in front of their property. One more. So if we look at the site plan on the lower right hand corner, that is where they're going to store their tanker trucks. And we've worked again with Land Development Services and Environmental Services to ensure the mitigation or concerns as they transfer waste from one truck to the other. Again, we don't want anything going into the ground or spilling, and there's also going to be a canopy so that in those times when it does rain, it won't wash any matter, on the site. The project does meet all of the development standards of the zoning code, and we are recommending approval. I'd also like to point out that we did add a condition of approval, as we've been starting to do with most of our conditional use permits, where after the certificate of occupancy, within a 6-month period, we will do a review to make sure that they're complying with their conditions of approval and their operations. We will continue that for a 2-year period. Again, we just wanted to make sure that there's no issues arise from this particular use. I'd be glad to answer any questions. The applicant and their engineer is here. If you have any specific questions of the business, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you. Could you go back to the, I think it was like the first or second slide. That one's fine. Okay, this one's fine too. What it looks like the kind of where the arrow is, it says project site, is lying within, looks like some sort of right-of-way, utility right-of-way. Is that a railroad right-of-way?
Yes, it is.
And is this, I guess knowing that there are, I'm not sure exactly where this line is or which one it is, but I'm just thinking about the Redlands passenger rail that is, you know, being led by Sandbag. Have there been any discussions with Sandbag about this? And most importantly, is there enough right of way for any proposed rail expansion that might be taking place along this corridor?
We were not informed of any right-of-way expansions to that. Again, part of our review process is to go through Public Works and Land Development. They go through the due diligence of what the right-of-way are and so forth. As an example, along Washington, they'll have to improve that right-of-way, and there, I believe there's a dedication that's involved there as well.
Okay.
So there is that due diligence that's completed for that.
Okay.
To address those types of issues.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions for?
I have one question. I don't know if you can answer.
Commissioner Avery?
Or the applicant can. It says all contaminated drainage. And what my concern is it'll be surrounded by, from the waste trucks, will be, there'll be an asphalt berm to contain any spillage from the trucks. I'd just like a little bit more information on that. Will that hold an adequate amount leaking into the sewer systems, or how big is that berm?
Well, it's not really for it's really for spillage. I don't really want to call it spillage because I kind of, that sounds a little too dramatic. But when they and maybe the applicant can explain a little the process of how they transfer from a smaller vehicle to the tanker to the larger tanker. But it's really we're just trying to any measures so as they're transferring from one to the other. That whatever may trickle out or what have you, that it would be captured, and that there's going to be measures in place for them to for cleanup and that sort of thing. There'll also be some drainage systems that when it does rain or when there's water, that be captured and not go into the water table and those sorts of things, and again recollected. And so again, the idea here is that they don't that. It's not going to be stored there. It's more of when they're transferring from one to the other. And if you'd like, maybe the applicant's engineer can come up and explain a little bit of how that operation works, if you'd like. Okay. Okay.
The tanker truck's not going to be sitting there full of sewage. They're gonna pump that out.
That's
full at any one time.
That's correct.
That's fine.
Okay.
The applicant have anything to contribute at this time, or wish to? Apparently not. Any other questions? Comments? I'll entertain a motion.
I will make a motion. The Planning Commission adopt the categorical exemptions and approve conditional use permit 1318 based on the findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to the conditions of approval.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous? Item number 4.
Good evening. Item number 4 is conditional use permit 1513. It's a request to develop, establish, and operate a Starbucks restaurant drive-through with a Type 41 license, ABC license. That's on sale beer and wine for a bona fide public eating place. And in one building, approximately 1,822 square feet, with a second drive-through building, approximately 3,600 square feet. On a vacant parcel, approximately 1.5 acres. It's located northeast of the intersection of Palm Avenue and Kendall Drive. It's in the Commercial General CG1 zone and the Transit District overlay. You can see the location here. As I said, it's approximately northeast location of the intersection here, directly fronting Kendall Drive. There's an aerial of the property. As I said, it's currently vacant. This is a photograph of the existing site looking from the corner, the intersection, across the extent of the site. Here is a site plan showing the intended development. You can see two buildings. The smaller building centered along the frontage along Kendall would be the intended Starbucks drive-thru. The other building would be a to-be-determined drive-thru restaurant. You can see both have their drive-thru locations that enter and exit interior to the site, adequate parking, street improvements all along Kendall Drive. These are some the elevations for the proposed buildings. This would be for the approximate elevations for the Starbucks facility. This is for the unnamed facility. And here is an example of the typical landscaping that they plan on doing on the site. You can see full improvements as noted on and off site. And one clarification we did want to make with the conditions for the project relates to condition number 17, letter G. It's relating to the conditions for the alcohol sales. The requirement, specifically requiring the RBS training for operators and employees of the establishment, because this is being processed as a bona fide eating place, that requirement is not mandated by the deemed approved ordinance. Staff, though, in the review of the project, did feel that this is a little bit unique, you know, for our city. You know, in terms of having the coffee shop with the alcohol sales, it's a little bit different than a normal restaurant we're accustomed to, and we felt that it would be best to include that into the conditions. There is also a change that we needed to make to that, however. Instead of saying they must complete the alcohol and drug or other responsible beverage service RBS training by October 21st, 2011, we're just going to change that to say must complete the training within 60 days of the business opening and within 60 days of hire for employees hired after that date.
Okay, thank you. I have a question.
Yes.
We have a restaurant with an ABC license, and we have a Starbucks with an ABC license?
The ABC license is only proposed for the Starbucks establishment. The other one
Starbucks.
Is, yes, we the other
drive,
one is not associated.
Drive-up alcohol dispensing. Interesting. For on-site consumption at a drive-thru.
The conditions? The Starbucks is a drive-thru establishment. The conditions do note that alcohol sales are for on-site consumption only. I understand the concern. I do. It is something staff addressed as well. Perhaps, I don't know, we do have the applicant here. He has processed other establishments like this. There are other Starbucks that do have this type of license. Maybe he can provide a little more detail on that.
I need the applicant then.
I think we'd appreciate that.
Before the applicant says comes up and makes their comments,
I have never seen one.
I will say that staff is very sensitive to the commission's concerns regarding alcohol sales. This is a new business model for Starbucks and certainly does exist in other communities. It's new to the city of San Bernardino. You know, they are a responsible operator, and like all conditions of approval, they are self-enforced, but it is certainly in the best interest of the operator to follow all of their ABC requirements because ABC does revoke permits if people don't follow their conditions of approval, and more importantly, the ABC operating standards. So this is unique to our community, but not unique to Starbucks as a company. So with that, the applicant may have some additional comments to make, but we did very specifically, as Travis has pointed out, add conditions that you would not typically see in a drive-through operation. So I think one other thing that's important to note, and Travis didn't say this in his oral report, but in the written report, the conditional use permit is for the drive-through portion of the business. If this were just older Starbucks that doesn't have drive-throughs, there was a time where Starbucks built stores that didn't have drive-throughs. If this did not have a drive-through and it was just a Starbucks with an ABC permit, this would not be before the Planning Commission. This would actually be approved at a staff level. provided that it was a type 41, which ABC is processing it as a type 41. So bona fide eating establishments, absent a drive-through, you know, if this was a Coco's with a beer and wine license, that could be approved at a staff level. So we just want to make that clear to the commission what's before the commission. We are very sensitive to the commission concerns, which is why we've added those conditions, and I'll certainly let the applicant speak.
Commissioner, I know it sounds funny, but I was serious about my question. Is dispensing mm-hmm. alcoholic beverages in a drive-thru?
They would not be. They can't serve alcohol off sale. It has to be consumed on site. So if you are going to the drive-thru, you could not get a beer or wine. You would actually have to go into the establishment.
So they would just be serving the alcohol for those who are dining there?
That's correct.
And not selling it through the drive-thru?
They cannot have any off-site consumption or off-site sales. That is correct.
Yeah. Yep. Condition number 10 does note that it is for on-site consumption only.
Right.
Okay. The only other questions that I have is, I didn't see in the report, maybe it's there and I missed it, but there was no reference to what the current alcohol density is for that area. And I think, especially if you're trying to mitigate alcohol-related problems, if you check with ABC, they will tell you what is the alcohol outlet density there, any outlet that serves either in a dining or a grocery store or whatever. And ABC will also tell you that that has something to do. Higher density communities have more problems related to alcohol, lower density. But I think that should be a routine piece of information in your report.
And you are correct, and I apologize. That was not printed
not
in the report. That is not included in the report, and that
I'm
will be something we
ensure
to have.
So I don't know, but as a commissioner, I would want to know. And I would suggest that in the future for any others, we see reports here from your office that show for some communities it's high density, and yet we're approving even more. And in others, because ABC does have a formula that they use per population within that community. And I think the residents would be concerned, as those of us here would be concerned about something like that also. I would like to see it in all of those reports.
Yeah, we do apologize. As Travis mentioned, we typically would put that in a report. That was not included in this report, but we will certainly make sure that that information is available for future.
Okay. Commissioner Daly.
Yes.
see, I'm from Texas. You know, we have beer barns. You just pull right in, and they just load up all the alcohol and, you know, move on your way. You can also carry shotguns in your car, so that's Texas. My question really is less about the particulars on the beer and wine sale, just kind of a question related to the TOD overlay. Mm-hmm. So we're approving two drive-thrus.
Correct.
Or we're
proposing to. Yes.
Proposing to approve two drive-thrus, which is fine. And given the location and the proximity to the freeway, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a conflict between that and the TOD overlay, which, if I remember correctly, talked about not allowing drive-through restaurants or other uses that were, you know, auto-dependent, like, you know, auto repair facilities and whatnot.
The TOD overlay, as originally adopted, did prohibit the kind of auto-centric uses like repair shops, drive-throughs, things of that sort. There was a development code amendment done, I believe in 2014, I forget the exact number, that did allow, with approval of a conditional use permit, with approval of a conditional use permit, it allowed any use that was originally permitted in that underlying zone, in this case the commercial general zone, to be permitted even within the overlay. In this instance, then, we're trying to approve a drive-through or two drive-throughs. That use is permitted in the CG1 zone, so it is up to the discretion of the commission to approve that and can be done.
Hmm. Okay.
Commissioner,
Does anybody know what the hours of operation will be on the Starbucks, since they are serving alcohol in, or they want to serve alcohol in the store?
The Starbucks, as the most
it's going to be a 24 hours.
The most up to
Sorry. The most up-to-date information that we do have, they were requesting 24 hours. They have said, I believe, that they would reduce that, if they could, to 4 a.m. to midnight. In the conditions, as we noted, this is something else staff definitely looked into, because we are concerned, and we know there has been concern about how early, how late are we selling alcohol in any neighborhood. We're requiring that they do comply with the hours of sales permitted per the Type 41 license, which I believe, I don't have the number off the top of my head for the early sales, and I apologize, 2 a.m. would be the limit on later sales, and that's all going to be required under those restrictions from the ABC department themselves, as opposed to additional restrictions here. Certainly, though, it's up to the commission. You may choose to put any other hours on there if you wish.
Thank you.
I noticed that I didn't see anywhere in there the reference to the condition we've sort of enacted for establishments, new establishments, of the review of their operating procedures on a 6 month or for 2 years, similar to what was going to be done for other ones we've recently approved. Otherwise, a review that they're meeting all the conditions of approval, that their operation is continuing on in a high standard.
That is something that we looked at as well, but it was the belief of staff, as Mark explained, this application, if it was already an existing facility or if it did not have a drive-through, the Type 41 license would not be something that would be looked at by the commission. It's not something that we would put those extra conditions on about, maintenance of operating standards or, the review of the operating standards. So we believe that was not necessary for this type of establishment and this type of license. If that is something, though, as with any changes to the hours or otherwise, that's certainly something we can, we're open to adding back in.
Okay. Any other questions? Would the applicant like to provide any information or additional information? Please come on down and state your name and spell your last name and your address for the tape record, please.
Honorable Chairman, members of the Commission, good evening. My name is Carl Hoy with Travis Companies. Before you as the applicant, the engineer, and the architect. Travis Companies, that's Carl with a K, Hoy, H-U-Y, 4430 East Mira Loma Avenue, Suite F, Anaheim, 92807, 714-693-9388. Good evening again.
Welcome.
Over the past, unfortunately, 18 months, we've had both the pleasure and the opportunity to work not only with your planning staff, but staffs from several other departments here in the city. This project has taken a little longer than we had anticipated. There were several items, traffic being the major item, to work out. There were many, many items to take care of relative to traffic. A separate traffic analysis was prepared, submitted to your engineering staff. That went back and forth, I believe, 4 or 5 times. Finally was resolved, and now the project is being brought before you. We've had, over the last 2 weeks, the opportunity to review the staff report, the findings, the recommendations, the conditions of approval presented to you tonight for consideration and approval. We are in complete concurrence with the findings and the recommendations and respectfully request your approval of the project this evening. We thank you for the consideration of the project, and I would like the opportunity, should it be necessary, to readdress the commission if any additional questions or comments come up.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you very much for your presentation. Any questions by any of the commissioners? Or Mr. Hoy? Commissioner Herb? I don't know. That would have to be something that would come from staff or Mr. Abeno. Mr. Erper, your mic's not on. You need to, the little button in the front, turn the red light on. It's in the front, right by your belly. There you go.
Sorry.
Repeat your question so Mr. Abeno can hear it.
My question was, would it be reasonable to add a specific condition that there would be no alcohol sales at the drive-through window?
Yes, I think the commission could add that condition. I would like to ask the applicant if he's familiar with the operation of the Starbucks with the sale of beer and wine and how they sell the beer and wine inside the store and prohibit it from being sold at the drive-thru. Can you describe that for the commission?
Yes, sir. As Mr. Martin had indicated, the sale of alcoholic beverages is only for those persons in the dining room only. There is no purchasing or selling or distribution of any alcoholic beverage through the drive-thru window.
So I believe then, if I can ask Mr. Chairman, you would not have any objection to such a condition being added by the commission?
No, sir. We would concur with that.
Would it be appropriate to modify condition 10 then just to say alcohol sales and distribution shall occur within the dining room only instead of noting on-site consumption? Would that satisfy the commission's concern?
Would that satisfy your concern? I think that's a reasonable addition. You have no objection to it, and that puts it in writing as a, mm-hmm. as a written condition to make sure we cover all the bases.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest then it would be an additional phrase. So it would read, alcohol sales shall be sold in the dining area only and for on-site consumption only.
Would that satisfy it, or would you like the prohibition of sales through the drive-thru?
It's not a big issue for me. I was just trying to clear it up if anyone had any.
Okay. I think Mr. Opinion's statement would meet all the needs that we have to cover.
Could that be repeated one more time, just a second?
Yes, I would add the phrase.
I'm sorry. We have it. My mistake.
Commissioner Edney?
Yes, we were talking. I had asked the question about hours of operation, mm-hmm. And they believe it's 24 hours. Is that just the drive-through, or is the dining area going to be open 24 hours also?
As was indicated in the staff presentation, this is a new rollout program to the city of San Bernardino. We've done four other ones of these in the general area, Riverside County, if you will. The hours of operation for 24-hour is for the drive-through only.
Okay.
In the previous three.
Mm. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Condition number 11 for reference is sales alcohol comply with the hours permitted for an alcoholic beverage control ABC license type 41. That's a condition already put in there. So, any other questions, comments? It'll be interesting for me. I live in that area of the city to see the results of the improvement of that triangle-shaped lot. I'll entertain a motion unless there's something else. Thank you very much, Mr. Hoy.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt categorical exemption and approve conditional use permit 15-03 based on findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to conditions of approval with the addition of the conditions that were discussed just now.
I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimous. Moving right along. Thank you for a new improvement. Non-public comments for items not on the agenda, which are in the purview of the Planning Commission? None? Planning Commission reports or announcements?
I just got one.
Commissioner Abbey?
Yeah, along with Mark's very successful Third Thursdays, the CERT program is having
a Thanksgiving morning turkey trot, 5K walk, November the 6th. It starts at 6 a.m. They're trying to raise some money to get background checks for all the CERT people that are involved, some 300 of them. So,
what's CERT?
What was the date? CERT is it's on Thanksgiving morning, the 26th.
Before you eat the turkey.
Yeah, before you eat the turkey. Hey, some of them, you know, maybe after, I don't know. It's the Community Emergency Response Team. It's a volunteer team in case of disaster or something like that. There's quite a few people that are involved in it. Not enough, but they're trying to raise some money. So, it's again, it's on Thursday morning, November 26th. It starts at 6 a.m. There's stuff for kids and everything else. It'll go to 11. So I have some flyers if anybody's interested. That's all.
I'm interested.
I have one. Vermont Neighborhood Association is having their monthly meeting on Thursday, tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. at Western Little League. A lot of discussion will be about the proposed 36-inch gas line. And that's at 7 o'clock, and they have some business they have to take care of within their organization as far as board member nominations and et cetera. It's that time of year. Anything else? No? Director's report.
Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. First item I want to talk about is the development code update. I believe I told the commissioners last month that we originally were anticipating that the code would be completed in early 2016. Given the number of issues that we are coming across with a comprehensive update, it looks like that schedule will be probably the spring or summer, late spring, early summer of 2016. So we just want to remind the commission of that. And as sections are ready for review, we will be posting them on the website and we'll certainly be bringing them to the commission for commission discussion. So we do anticipate having the commission either at a separate workshop or as part of your regular agenda, depending upon the number of items on the agenda, the commission will start to see those code updates probably in March or April. So that's the first item. The second item I want to talk about is the major projects list. As the commissioners are aware, we are publishing this monthly around the first of every month. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback from the community, and we're certainly more than willing to answer any questions for any projects that you have on this list. And this, again, does get posted on the department website, so if any of the members of your association want to get copies, they can certainly go to the website for that. The third item that I wanted to talk about was a give an update on the Carousel Mall. The City Council approved a exclusive negotiating agreement. That was done 3 weeks ago at the first meeting in November. Stephanie is passing out a potential phasing plan and a preliminary site plan that was made a part of the planning committee, or excuse me, the presentation to the City Council. So an exclusive negotiating agreement is the first phase in the ultimate redevelopment, and that's with a small r because we don't have agency-funded or city-funded redevelopment anymore. This is the first phase of the redevelopment of the Carousel Mall and ultimate build-out of Theater Square. The council, so we have 6 months, that is, with staff and the development team to work out the details of the project. We will be having community meetings starting in February because we certainly want to hear from all members of the public about the redevelopment of the mall. The team, AECOM, there's actually three partners involved in the development team. AECOM, which is a large international development company, The second partner is the Franzen Company. John Franzen was actually involved in bringing Regal Theater to the city of San Bernardino back in 2011 and 2012. So he has familiarity with the community. And the third partner is KB Home, which I'm sure many of you have heard of, Kaufman and Broad. They are the second largest developer of single-family homes in the nation. They are a publicly traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, so obviously very well funded. The first two projects to come out of the ground, what we're calling quick start projects, would be first around Regal Theater, the two open space parcels, the grassy knolls, some people call them, at 4th Street. Those two parcels will accommodate about 15,000 square feet of freestanding retail. So that would be a combination of retail uses as well as restaurant. And then within the theater itself, the theater originally had 20 screens, as some of you may recall. When Regal came in, the redevelopment agency approved the reduction from 20 screens to 14 screens. But behind that front facade, when you buy your tickets, behind that front facade, there's actually the shells of those six theaters. And that's about 9,000 square feet of space which could be converted to retail space with some demolition work and some build-out. You could have 9,000 square feet of retail and restaurant space within the shell of the Regal Theater. So those two projects were that retail space, again, about 25,000 square feet. We anticipate that being open within 24 months. The second quick start project would be the KB Home, and that's the what's called the potential initial residential portion, and that's at the corner of 2nd and E Street. And KB Home is proposing anywhere from 45 to 55 market rate townhome units on the corner of 2nd and E. So both of those will, it's anticipated, happen within 24 months. And then the larger redevelopment of the mall, that's, we're looking at probably 5 to 8 years for that. And this is a very long-term project. I think it's important for the community to understand that. We will be working with the Planning Commission, with the Council, and with the community to further refine this. But this is a very exciting project for the city. We do anticipate reintroducing some of the street grid, as you can see here. F Street would be reopened so that you would have north-south access through the site. And then 3rd Street would be reopened so you have east-west access through the site. When malls were built in the heyday of the 60s and the 70s and even into the early 80s, it was very common for cities to close off the street grid. And with the closure of the malls, which I think is a good thing, we now realize that that downtown should be vibrant, that you should have connected streets. The street grid, some of the streets will be reintroduced to this site. So I think it's a very exciting time for the community to actually see some significant development happening in downtown core, and this will no doubt spur a lot of additional development in the downtown core. So there's certainly a lot of work to be done, but it's very exciting to be at this point. I know I've had a couple of questions from the public as well as others about how AECOM and that development team was chosen. I'll briefly go into the history. There was a letter that was sent out about a year ago to 90 developers nationwide, inviting them. It was called a solicitation of interest letter, talking about the overall Carousel Mall site and the surrounding development opportunities. From that letter that went out, we received in February of this year, we received 13 letters of interest back from developers. And it proposed everything from
reusing the mall as a medical, it would basically become a, how do I want to characterize it, as you could get all of your cosmetic surgery done in one place. That was one of the 13 proposals we received. There was another proposal that was a mix of industrial and retail. Generally, what I will call the serious proposals out of the 13 all proposed some combination of mixed use. So we did, staff interviewed all 13 development teams. From that, we invited three teams to submit a further refinement, and we interviewed all three of those teams. And from that, we recommended to the council that AECOM be awarded the exclusive negotiating agreement. And again, the council did approve that unanimously, I will say, which doesn't always happen. So on November 2nd, the council unanimously approved the ENA, which gives us the ability to work with the development team. So I'm happy to answer any questions. I know that's, I'm sure many of you have questions, but I'd be happy to answer them.
Commissioner Lopez.
Will the community meetings be held in the different wards, or how many are you anticipating?
We've had one meeting with the development team. We are on a biweekly schedule now, so our next meeting is next Monday, and that's one.
For the community?
No, I'm sorry.
About the community. That,
staff and the development team, we're setting up biweekly meetings because we know 6 months is not a lot of time to get this done. So I can't answer your question at this point, but that is one of the topics that we're going to be discussing internally. And we'll have a schedule probably late December, early January. So I at this point can't tell you how many meetings we'll have or where those meetings will be held.
And will the community meetings allow for resident input about what they'd like to see? You know, another thing, and I'm sure that this is something that they're going to consider, walkability. I'm hoping that under retail it also includes sit-down restaurants, because we literally have a food desert here in downtown San Bernardino, and the trucks only come once a month.
Right.
You know, but we need sit-down, not necessarily drive-through. That's a common complaint that a lot of people, and there's a lot of employees that within walking distance,
right,
pedestrian-friendly, slow traffic things that they do, make it nice to go out and walk from there to here, you know, instead of where the cars rule, you know. I mean, I'm hoping that they would consider all of those things.
This will, I think a lot of what you're referring to, Commissioner Lopez, is a lot of the new urbanist principles about walkability, mm-hmm. You know, having opportunities for people to get
sitting
out.
And gathering and
exactly.
Places, shade, take an occasional photo because, you know, it's a nice place.
Yes, that will absolutely be a part of this. I didn't include the entire presentation, but if you go to the website, the entire presentation that was given to the council on November 2nd is there. It's about a... it's about 13 or 14 slides, so you can see, the commissioners can all see, or anybody in the public can see, kind of the representation of the projects that this development group has done. And they're all, as you've said, ample opportunities for people to walk and to sit down. I was going to say that is really the nature of retailing today, and this will absolutely meet all of those principles.
The residential units are all going to be townhouses of that?
In the first phase, that is correct, yes.
And how much is this plan going to get the businesses that are already there buy-in? Because I imagine that what they're going to design will have a specific overall look. And right now we have a hodgepodge of certain things. In some areas, it looks all nice because of the architectural design and so forth. In other areas, you know, we have smaller businesses exceeding the 25% signage and et cetera, et cetera. So are you guys going to do something to bring in that business and get them to, I don't know.
Well, again, I think at this point what I can say is They are a very experienced development team. I think in-house, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I think we can do a pretty good job of reviewing projects. We do have a lot of current businesses that, because of our inability to do adequate code enforcement, don't meet a lot of our current zoning requirements and development code requirements, especially to signage, as you've noted. But the property management is going to be key, and certainly this development team understands the need for property management, diligent property management. So I think your concerns will probably be put to rest because of that, you know, diligent and active property management, which we don't have in a lot of our shopping centers. A lot of the shopping centers are owned by individuals outside the city that rarely come by their property, so tenants are have free rein, I should say, on a lot of what happens. I don't think that that's going to happen here. Right. Right. Part of what our what we need to do from our side, the staff side, particularly with code enforcement, is as this project starts to get under construction, we will be very diligent in essentially going around the periphery and enforcing the code so that the existing businesses essentially improve their aesthetics. I see what you're saying. Yes. Right.
Where do you fit in? And what
right.
Do
you okay.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I'm really, really excited that this is happening. I think it's fantastic, and I appreciate the update on all of this. I think that the team that was selected, the AECOM Francing team, is probably the best that we could have gotten, it seems like. I know that Vaughn Davies, at least from what I read, is involved, and Vaughn was one of the leads on the Downtown Core Vision and Action Plan that was done several years ago. And as Mark mentioned, the Francing company being involved with the bringing in a Regal, I think that that'll create a lot of, you know, kind of synergy and consistency with what was discussed years ago with the Downtown Core Plan and moving forward. My questions are just kind of, I guess, maybe somewhat basic. I guess regarding the ENA, so that we have a six-month ENA with them, and at what is expected to be delivered at the end of that 6 months? Are we talking plans? Are we talking something to come to the commission, or is it we're agreeing that this is the people that we want to get married with and we want to move forward into the next round of, like, this is the engagement and we want to get into, like, planning the wedding?
Right. That's a very good question. At the end of the ENA period, the expectation is that we would have a master development agreement that would spell out the square footages of uses. We all understand, you know, when you say mixed use, I think everybody has a different interpretation of what mixed use is, how much retail, how much office, how much residential. So at the end of the ENA, it varies. The next phase is the master development agreement, which will spell out square footages and will spell out roughly architectural styles, but it doesn't contain the construction drawings.
Right.
So there would be entitlements that would follow after the master development agreement,
mm-hmm.
and the Planning Commission will absolutely be involved in, and you'll hold public hearings after the master development agreement is approved to actually approve the individual buildings or the project.
So with the master development agreement, then that will, for my simple mind, that's kind of like the specific plan. Or is that fair to say? I know it's not specific
It's probably not to that level of detail mm-hmm. that you would see in a specific plan, but mm-hmm. it's I think probably the best way to say it is it'll talk about square footages of the various uses
mm-hmm.
and approximate architectural styles.
Okay.
So if you think about the ENA as the 40,000 foot view of the property.
Mm-hmm.
The MDA, Master Development Agreement, probably gets you down to the 20,000-foot level, but it doesn't get you down to ground level.
So would there be 6 months from now, we have an MDA. I don't think that wouldn't come to us. That would that be a staff-level agreement?
That would be approved by the council.
It would be approved by the council.
Correct.
Okay. So we have the ENA for 6 months. 6 months later, we get an MDA that goes to council for approval. Would there be a timeline on the MDA?
There will be, yes.
Okay.
The MDA will have very specific performance measures
okay.
that will require construction of certain uses within a certain period of time.
Okay.
And that is really key, because what we liked about AECOM was the fact that they do have a very tight timeline for the first two quick start projects and then for the overall development.
That's excellent.
They do have a timeline. So the MDA will spell out, again, in rough terms, those timelines. That would be approved by the council. And then the individual project, there will be a development permit and conditional use permit
sure.
and all of the traditional land use entitlements. Those will come to the Planning Commission subsequent to the MDA. And that's when you'll be able to look at a preliminary landscape plan and see how many trees there are and how much walkability there is and how wide are the sidewalks. So that will all come to the Planning Commission for your review and approval.
Okay, cool. And then just a couple other questions with the chair's indulgence. Just looking at the map, the new realigned F Street?
Yes.
Are these roundabouts? Or what are those?
Squareabouts?
Like what are? I'm just curious.
F Street does not follow a current direct north-south alignment. Is the two gray boxes that are in here are the JCPenney's, former JCPenney's building,
mm-hmm.
and the parking structure.
Mm-hmm.
Those two buildings are not owned by the successor agency. Mm-hmm. Those are actually owned by the San Manuel mm-hmm. Tribe. We are in negotiations with them to actually to swap property that the city owns. So if that does occur, then the JCPenney's building would be demolished and F Street would you'd be able to travel directly north-south on F Street just like you can on E or D Street.
Yeah, gotcha.
So this is a preliminary plan based upon current constraints.
Totally.
So it's our expectation that when a project does come back to the commission, F Street is directly north-south, just like E and D.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. And then the last question there on, I guess that's the southwest corner of 4th and E. I always forget the name of that building there, the vacant building.
The old Woolworths building?
Yes.
Yes.
The one that's redevelopment controlled?
The Art Deco building, correct.
Right. Where does that fit in this conversation? It's a great building, but you know, I know there's structural problems, code issues, and all of that.
There are. The two buildings that we know are going to be retained are the Harris building and the Andreessen building. The status of the old Woolworths building is to be determined. I mean, you're right. It's a beautiful Art Deco building, and it's really – I've not been in it myself, but from what I understand, the interior is still fairly intact. But, yes, it does have some pretty significant seismic issues. So I doubt we'll know by the MDA signing whether that building stays or goes.
Okay. So, but the two then were on the opposite sides of the new 3rd Street of the two buildings that would remain?
Right. That's the Harris and the Andreessen building, and gotcha. Those will remain, yes.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for the director regarding the Carousel Mall? I got a question for you, Mark.
Sure.
I've had reports from people up in on the Kendall Plaza that there's a delay for the Pizza Hut sit-down restaurant opening because of some entanglement here at the city.
I actually heard that rumor myself, and that is just a rumor. That is absolutely not true. The plans have been ready to be picked up for 3 weeks, and they haven't been picked up for some reason. So I don't know. Like most rumors, you never know how they get started, and you can never kill them.
Well, that's why I came to the horse, so to speak, to find the truth.
Yeah.
So at the V&A meeting, those people will be ranting and raving about it again. So I'll inform them. Unless you wish to go and inform them, then I'll stay away.
thanks for the invitation. I did have two other quick items, if there aren't any other questions on Carousel Mall. The first is, as Commissioner, the Chair mentioned, the gas line. I know that's been an issue of much discussion in the community. The council on Monday night, two nights ago, did review and approve a scoping letter, and that scoping letter, there were a couple of amendments that the council requested be made. That scoping letter was submitted to the California Public Utilities Commission. The CPUC is the body that's the lead agency, which means they're controlling the CEQA process, and they're ultimately approving the alignment of the gas pipeline, whatever that alignment may be. The city of San Bernardino is a commenter, just like any citizen would be. So even though we're a government entity, a local agency, we don't have any more sway over the CPUC than anybody else does. So I submitted that letter again to the Public Utilities Commission yesterday. It's about 3 pages long. That will be available on the city's website shortly because, again, we know that that's a topic of a lot of discussion in the community. So the city has gone on record listing its concerns, which are pretty significant. The alignment is a very significant concern, the lack of transparency. There's also obviously a lot of social justice issues that we don't believe have been taken into consideration, along with a lot of the typical, more traditional environmental issues, traffic control, dust mitigation. Those issues are all contained within the letter. So the city has officially gone on record raising those concerns with the gas pipeline. And then my final item is tomorrow is Third Thursday. You may have noticed in front of you we've got the new postcard. So thanks to Stephanie for that. Stephanie did a fantastic job. She came up with the idea that we do a die-cut postcard, which really I think is great. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback, so thank you, Stephanie, for coming up with that. So hopefully those commissioners who are in the area tomorrow will come on down. And that concludes my report.
So Stephanie didn't get cramps in her hands from scissors in, right?
Every single one of them.
Yes. So I'm sorry, Stephanie did remind me one last item. This was emailed to the commission. The city clerk's office is hosting a year-end celebration of commissioners. This is on Wednesday, December 9th from 5:30 to 7:30 at Mitla's. So I believe all of you received a copy of this. And if you can, please RSVP to Brenda Liggett so that we can get a head count. And now I'm finished.
Now you're finished. At sbcity.org.
Yes. You can RSVP to me if that's easier, or to Stephanie, and we'll forward it on to Brenda.
Anything else by anybody? We have some members of the public or city staff very quietly sitting there.
Yes, I'm glad you noticed. What we're doing within the department, we've done a lot of cross-training and a lot of internal training. That's something that myself and all the managers are very keen on doing. We want to make sure that everybody in the department understands their role and how they fit in. So we actually have two counter techs, Matt, if you want to raise your hand, and Dion are two of the counter technicians. So if you've ever come to our public counter, you know, they don't always see how their interactions with the public fit into something that finally comes to the Planning Commission. So they're here to see the entitlement end of the process. And then Michael is our newest intern. Started with us about 30 days ago, and at the December meeting, we have four counter technicians, so two of them are here tonight and two of them will be here in December, and they've also done ride-alongs with building inspectors, and we'll be doing ride-alongs with code officers. Again, the idea is I want, and everybody wants within the department, we all need to have an understanding of where we fit into the organization. So this is part of that ongoing cross-training.
Very good. As long as I keep in mind it, if you lose the smallest member of the horseshoe, the horse gets lame, and it doesn't work. So everybody's important in their role. And it's, you know, not just a director. He's just a figurehead.
I am. I've got a great team. I will freely admit that. I couldn't do my job without all of their hard work.
Well, then I'm going to welcome you if you're a longtime city employee. I'm welcoming you to come down to the Planning Commission. Sorry we had a somewhat boring commission meeting. We have had some that have been a little more exciting and a lot longer in hours. I entertain a motion to adjourn to Wednesday, December 16th at 6 p.m. here. Second. I've got a motion, a second. Opposed? None. Everybody's in favor. I had to do it backwards. Thank you. I finally woke up.